The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We thank you for being a part of the program. Been a busy one. Scott Strickland from Florida, the AD down there, giving us the latest a couple of hours ago. We are heading to the second half of the program, and certainly one of the most eagerly anticipated games of the day tomorrow night in Baton Rouge between South Carolina and LSU. And Quint Kesnick joining us from down there. Quint, thank you very, very much. Appreciate the time. And it looks like weather is an issue. Good afternoon. What's going on down there right now?
Well, just for the moment, I'm across the street. Tiger Stadium's to my left, and their facility's straight across the street. I'm about to record an advancer for tomorrow, and we had a little lightning. It got dark, severe winds and pouring, but you can see the nicer weather up on the horizon, so things should be back to normal in about 10 minutes.
Well, good, because that is a place that doesn't need, Louisiana does not need any more bad weather. Quint, let's talk a little bit before we get to the game just about your job this year. It's different, I'm sure. A lot of Zoom calls, a lot of unusual situations caused by the pandemic. How would you describe the obvious difference between this and every other year you've been on the sidelines for ESPN and ABC?
Well, it's taken a lot of the fun out of it. It's taken a lot of the things that I enjoy to get on campus, to meet with the coaches, to talk to the strength coaches, just to get a vibe for how that team is doing. And you learn so much, whether it's roaming down the hallway and talking to a tight ends coach or bumping into a recruiting intern about a video they just made. So that part of my investigation is far less exciting this year. There's no social aspect in terms of our TV crew, our TV team. So it's just Zooms. And when I'm on the road, I'm the only one here. Our broadcast crew will broadcast this from Bristol. I'm the only one here, so I kind of treat this like I'm a spy. I don't touch anything. I talk to no strangers. And I get in, I do the game, and I get out.
Quint, there's always a challenge on the sidelines, especially when there is weather. But is it any, or how different is it, I guess I'm trying to ask, dealing with the crew 1,500 miles away or maybe longer or farther versus right upstairs? Not that you can see them, but you at least know that they are seeing the same thing you're seeing.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a time delay in the audio, so it can be anywhere from 2 seconds to 4 seconds. So, you know, I've been on a crew with Jason Benetti and Rod Gilmore the last couple of years where my mic's been hot the whole game. This year, I've changed crews almost every week, and because we're doing it remotely, they can't have my mic on because we'd be talking over each other. So we do it old school, and I'll talk to the producer on my talk back and say, hey, after this third down play, I want to talk about the punter coming up. Or, hey, if they make a first down here, I want to talk about how their tight ends are doing a great job. So we have to do it old school and go through the producer in the remote truck in order to get on air. Whereas in the past, I could just talk and we were seamless.
Quint, on the sidelines, I mean, to say the least, there are restrictions. What are they, and how much do you have to tiptoe around?
It's really not bad. I mean, week one, I did a game at Pitt. They actually made me call the game from the stands in the front row. It was a good seat, but I really couldn't get a feel for what was going on the benches. Since then, they've just widened, Paul, they just widened the areas. It's actually easier now because there's less hangers-on. There's less alums. There's less NFL scouts, and so the sidelines are vacant. It makes my job a lot easier. I also feel pretty secure in that the players and coaches have all been tested recently, as recently as Friday or Saturday morning, so I feel good in that regard. So it's actually almost easier. Less fans, less crowds, more space.
Speaking of testing, how often do you have to be tested?
We test once a week. It's either an at-home test, and then you mail it in, and the test results come back in about 36 hours, or it's an on-site test on a Thursday afternoon. Then you quarantine, and then Friday they release you. So far, knock on wood, I'm 6 for 6 negative tests.
That would be kind of nerve-wracking. You show up at a game, and you have to sweat it out, and you hope you don't get a Nick Saban false positive. Let's talk about the game, because it is a really interesting game. Let's start with South Carolina, just your as I know you do, gather as much information as you can. You probably would like to have be able to gather more in person, but your impressions of what you've seen of them and what you expect.
Well, they beat Auburn, as you know, and they got the three turnovers and converted those into touchdowns. My issue with South Carolina is they're operating an offense with very limited downfield wide receiver threats. Shai Smith is a natural slot receiver. Colin Hill is working Mike Bobo's offense efficiently, and their offensive line and running backs are carrying the day. Okay, that's who this team is. I'm not sure they're ever going to be a high-scoring team. Defensively, they're really good. Corners who can shut you down, they add a man to the box. So I think South Carolina, given that LSU has a freshman quarterback, I'm leaning towards them having some success defensively in this ball game. So I kind of like Carolina's ability to negate LSU with a freshman quarterback. But, you know, Carolina's, they're physical, they're tough. They're nothing flashy about them, and I think big plays are hard for them. I think they have to find ways to manufacture big plays. But I think this team is definitely moving in the right direction. I think they've improved each week.
And the other side of that, you alluded to the quarterback situation. A team that has struggled mightily on defense, the quarterback play has been pretty good. I know it's impossible to gauge because we don't really have a lot of information. But what have you been able to learn about where they are right now?
Yeah, T.J. Finley gets the start, freshman, Ponchatoula High School. He's gigantic, 6'6", 242 pounds, and that's down from 260. He's a big, tall righty. And you watch his high school tapes, he just drops in the pocket, and he can flick the ball, and it goes 40 yards without him even trying. He seems like he's calm. He's a Louisiana product. This is a dream for him. The adrenaline will be running. Also expect to see Max Johnson, the son of NFL quarterback Brad Johnson, a lefty, also tall, but more of a dual threat. And when you think about calling the game around a freshman quarterback, making his first start, you know, any kind of run game would be beneficial. And to put the quarterback in successful positions early in the game, get him hit, but get a couple first downs, give him some easy throws. And I think that'll be on the mind of LSU. It's going to be a little more of a conservative game plan, I'd imagine. You know, he's got targets downfield, Terrace Marshall. Their running game, I thought, was anemic. I was at their Missouri game. That was the most disappointing part of the game in my eyes. Missouri was without three defensive tackles in that game, and LSU had no running game whatsoever. Good news for the Tigers, they get Ed Ingram back at left guard. But this is an offense through the air with Miles Brennan that's been outstanding. But now you got a new freshman quarterback, so expectations drop. Again, I'm seeing a little more of a lower scoring game here.
And Quinn, since you've seen them, the big issue has been on defense. What gives?
Horrible. And Coach O today said it's embarrassing. You know, alignment. Very often they're moving at a snap. Making checks, that is when the coverage changes on the fly because of emotion, because of a formation change. That has been dismal. They have given up big play after big play. Against Mississippi State, it was more catch and then run. But their air raid defense was atrocious, quite honestly. They continued to play man defense, and they got shredded by crossing patterns. But I was at the Mizzou game, and that game was defined by busts. I mean, just blatant busts where I got him, no, you got him, I got him, you got him. Guys wide open, touchdown. In the running game, their linebackers are not playing physical. They're not playing north. They're not playing north. They're not getting to the line of scrimmage and engaging blockers. They're waiting for runners. They're missing tackles. Remember the Tyler Beatty run from Missouri? Basically untouched, broke a tackle, and he's gone. So those two other headlines here. New quarterback for LSU and a defense that has had no answers.
Quint Kesnick on the call tomorrow, on the sidelines tomorrow in Baton Rouge. Quint, be safe. Thank you very much for your time. It's always good to catch up.
Thank you, Paul. You too.
Great to have Quint on, and we are going to head to the break. We've already been jam-packed with guests. We're not done. We still have plenty of time, and we will continue with – we'll also include your phone calls. I know we've been a little bit light here over the last couple of minutes. Cole Kublik, he is ready to roll at Ole Miss. He'll see his alma mater, and I, well, for one, cannot wait to hear what he has to say about the Auburn Tigers.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back here Friday afternoon, a big one tomorrow in Oxford between Auburn and Ole Miss. Coach Kubik, part of the call on the sidelines, and he is in Oxford right now. And Cole, let's just start with Auburn. I'm sure it's been a wretched week in Alabama trying to figure out the problems of Auburn football. I know you've had a lot of comments. What is wrong, and can it be fixed?
I think parts of it can be fixed, Paul. One of the first things is they're not a healthy football team right now, especially along the front seven defensively. A couple guys in the backfield. We might see Sean Shivers back in that Auburn offense. I think he can help fix some things. He can create explosive plays with high percentage passes or handoffs. Defensively, if you're getting Big Cat Bryant closer to 100%, I think he's a guy that can help you out. K.J. Britt's still not going to be back. And, you know, he's a leader not only of that defense but of that football team. So I think if you look at that senior class, Paul, you look at the experience top to bottom on that football team and then take the guys who have been injured and been out, it should be no surprise that leadership has been a little bit of an issue, a team that's still sort of trying to find themselves. And that brings you to the offense. And obviously, Tank Bigsby has emerged big in the last 2 weeks. I think he's a guy that this offense has to ride the rest of the season. He can create even without a dominant offensive line. And obviously, a quarterback that needs a little bit of help right now. I think it's on Chad Morris and Gus Malzahn to sort of go back to the drawing board a little bit, not completely revamp anything. Find the things that your quarterback is good at and comfortable with, and make sure you can get those things in over the course of a game. The biggest surprise to me, Paul, has just been that I don't know if Bo Nix has a full understanding of all the responsibility that comes with the position of playing quarterback. Whether it's clock management, how many shots you have at the end zone, when you can't take a penalty. I had a great quote from Jason Campbell that he gave me, former Auburn quarterback this week, and he said, over the course of my career, college or NFL, my best ability was my availability. And a lot of times, I'm not sure that Bo Nix is necessarily available, and he's putting himself in harm's way where he could potentially be injured. And then on top of that, when you're super fiery and when you're yelling at guys and you're maybe overly energetic at times, I don't know if that really correlates with all the other guys on the offense. He has to find his calm a little bit. I mean, even the most powerful, fastest quarterbacks that could scramble or throw the hardest, you would always see them find their calm in big situations. It's something that I still think can come with Bo Nix, but if he's going to be a true leader of that football team, those are two things that I think he has to come to the conclusions and grips with by the time this Auburn offense finds a way to roll.
And Cole, you know, a lot of what we see on television can be magnified. I know you see and hear a lot more when you're on the sidelines, but the one or two episodes that people have been talking about all week, what does that indicate to you, if anything, in relation to Bo Nix and his relationship with his teammates?
As far as the deal with Seth Williams on the sideline in the South Carolina game last week, I have no issue with that. I'm not mad at Bo Nix about that. First and foremost, we don't know exactly what was said. We don't know the play call. We don't know if the route was broken off early. We don't know if the ball was off target, if the ball was released on time. We don't know any of those things. And you can't necessarily just take his body language and think that it was an overly negative conversation. Now, nobody likes for another guy to get in their face, so they're both going to be uncomfortable, even if they feel like they're being approached that way. But I've seen guys come to blows on the sideline, literally throw punches on the sideline. Coaches, players, coaches, coaches, players, players. That stuff happens. It's the heat of the moment. It's the middle of battle. You're fiery. You're energetic. You want to win. You're doing everything you can to win. Just that is not something that I have an issue with. And I think, too, if you've been playing with Bo Nix for almost two seasons, a season and a half, and you've been around him in the weight room, in the locker room, you know his personality. You know what he's about. Just like Bo Nix knows what Seth Williams is about. They can squash that, move past that, repair that easily. It should have been handled actually on the sideline during the course of that game. Those things are going to take place. My reference is just more to when you're coming to the line of scrimmage, in between plays, during plays, finding that calm to be able to communicate with your other guys, let them know that you can handle certain situations, let them know they're going to be okay in certain situations, and thus everybody else feels better and more confident about what you're attempting to accomplish.
Cole, what impact and influence has Chad Morris brought to this offense?
There is no doubt that he has brought a more complex passing game to this Auburn offense. Now, are they able to get through all of it right now? I'm not really certain that that would be the case, but when you look at it structurally, whether it's protections, whether it's routes, whether it's formations, personnel groupings, they are much more diverse in how they throw the football, at least what they show when they would like to throw the football, than what they were a season ago. I think he gives you the ability to use different personnel in different places. You see some different motions, different trades, things of that nature. Some of it does look the same. I think the run game is very similar to what it was. Some guys lining up in certain spots on the field, very similar to what it was. Pace is not going to be something that's very different because Coach Malzahn has done that for a long time. But the one thing that he's brought is a passing game that is much more complex and should be giving Auburn a better chance to be successful through the air.
Cole, it seems on paper this game favors Auburn. They're favored in Vegas, the FPI, but you know they were also favored last week. What would, as Auburn fans watching this game, what should they keep their eyes on? What should they be concerned about? And just how do you, what does Ole Miss bring to the table that could derail Auburn? Because a loss here and there's no salvaging the season really.
No, I think you're right. And I think if you're talking about what to be concerned about with Ole Miss, there's a lot of things because there's NFL talent sprinkled all over this offense, running back, receiver, maybe even now potentially quarterback with what Lane Kiffin has done with Matt Corral. And I think there are some weapons that are still sort of waiting to emerge inside this Ole Miss offense. The offensive line's playing better ball. I think Ben Brown has handled center very well. Nick Broker's been great at left tackle for this football team. The pace is something that would really concern me if I were an Auburn fan going into this game. We mentioned it at the top of the interview that defensive front for the Tigers, they've been banged up. A couple defensive tackles been in and out of the lineup. Big Cap Bryant been in and out of the lineup. Obviously, I mentioned KJ Britt has not been there the last few games, and he's still going to be out for this game starting inside linebacker. That front seven is already a little bit thin, and if Lane Kiffin can find a way to go ultra fast, if he can just go at a supersonic speed, I would be very concerned that late in the third quarter, the majority of the fourth quarter, you would have a defensive front that would be exhausted. Now, what can Auburn do to counter that? I think the offensive line and Tank Bigsby against this defense have a chance to be successful. Will they stay committed to it? You kind of saw Auburn last week go to the run, go away from the run, then try to go back to the run. I think you stay committed to it for four quarters in this game. And if you do, I think you have an opportunity not only to move the football, potentially put up points, but make life easier on your quarterback. And the most important part, Paul, keep the ball away from that Ole Miss offense. I think it's a big day for the Auburn defensive line because if you can win up front with four, maybe even adding a fifth defender, be it in the run game or in pass rush situations, that gives you numbers on the back end to help out with a very talented wide receiver group. But the good thing about the Auburn secondary, they're versatile. You got guys that can play nickel, corner. Corner can go to safety. Safety can go to corner. Kevin Steele can mix and match a lot of things on the back end, but you have to win up front first if you're going to cause problems for Lane Kiffin's offense.
Cole Kublik, part of the call tomorrow, noon Eastern on the network. Cole, thank you very much. Always great to catch up with you. Be safe.
Thanks, Paul. Good talking with you.
You got it. Cole Kublik joining us, and we are going to take a break. I mentioned we'll get back to your phone calls eventually. We will do that. We'll also have more guests waiting in the wings, and we really look forward to our next guest. Alyssa Lang will be joining us. All of that after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back here on a Friday afternoon. Of course, tomorrow, Saturday, as everyone knows, and 9:30 tomorrow morning on the SEC Network, the new program Out of Pocket with Alyssa Lange, and she joins us now. Alyssa, thank you for the time, and I know a lot of people, I'm sure, have seen the program, but for those who are new, or maybe they're just getting back from Mars, I don't know, what is the approach to getting people ready for college football on Saturday morning?
Well, first of all, Paul, it's always great to be with you. It's always a great Friday when I get to come on this program and talk to you. But it's a really different show, if you will. Out of pocket, sort of the way you would use that term in slang, is exactly what it is. So we do a lot of interviews with players that are very unconventional, I guess. We talk plenty of football, but it's also very personality based. So I do a lot of research. I try to comb through these guys' social media pages ahead of time and really find what they're like off the field. It's a mix of that as well as sort of getting you ready for the slate of games. I do a lot of talking at the beginning of the show, whether we're assigning movie quotes to teams in the SEC West and how that would fit them through the season so far. Or last week, I put on my best Sherlock Holmes impression and tried to find some SEC defense, which ended up happening last Saturday, which was pretty awesome. Shout out to the Kentucky Wildcats, Arkansas, certainly. So it's a lot of fun. It's 30 minutes of donuts and football and lots of fun stories. For example, Georgia offensive lineman last week, Ben Cleveland, told us a story about when he was in high school and he skipped school and he was a little hungry and he couldn't find any food in the house. Mom wasn't home. So he looked out back and he saw two squirrels sitting in a tree, and he got out his .22 and he had lunch with the squirrels. So it was definitely not, I guess, the stories that you might hear on your typical game day broadcast. So that's what we sort of try to bring to Out of Pocket every Saturday.
After hearing that story, Alyssa, I'm not sure I'll ever eat again. I've heard of that. I mean, I did grow up in the South. I don't want to act like I've never heard of people eating that. But man, that's I guess that's being pretty intuitive with your surroundings. Wow. I may never be able to ask another question again after that. Well, did he say, I mean, have you ever had anything that bizarre?
No, I personally haven't. But, you know, my immediate follow-up question, Paul, is, and I'm like you, I've never had squirrel, I've never hunted in my life, and I probably sound like an absolute idiot trying to have a conversation with somebody who does hunt because I just don't know much about it. But my immediate, like, what popped into my head was, well, did you know how to cook it? Like, did you have to Google a squirrel recipe, or was this something that you already knew how to do? And Ben said, you know, you could just throw anything on the grill, and when it looks done, it's probably done. So that was his philosophy, I guess, when he was a teenager in high school. And I honestly, Paul, thought it was very commendable. I mean, he was hungry, he didn't see any food, and he went and found himself something to eat. Not only that, but he's very impressive on the football field, too. A guy who's going to get after it in all aspects of life. I mean, you got to love that, right? It's great for the NFL draft resume.
I am curious. You said something that really caught my attention, combing through the social media cycles of young players. What when you go through their timeline,
What do you see? Is there any way to characterize that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in 2020 and in the 21st century, everybody's social media sort of tells a story about who they are and what they like. And I have found through doing games as a broadcaster and even our studio shows that you can learn a lot about a guy outside of his stat sheet about what he might post on Instagram or post on Twitter. Because I know you could learn a lot about me from those same aspects and those same pages. So I learn a lot about, are they a dog person? Are they a cat person? Do they like to eat? For example, we had Larry Rountree and Nick Bolton on the show coming up tomorrow morning, and I learned that Larry is a very big dancer. He loves to dance. He loves to dance in the end zone, on the football field, at practice. So that was something that naturally came up in our conversation as we were taping Out of Pocket and getting ready for the show. In fact, it ended up with him basically calling out Coach Drinkwitz and saying that while Coach Drinkwitz dances a lot at practice as well, he could not hold a candle to Larry's dance moves. And of course, you know me, Paul, I had to poke the bear and ask if we were gonna have a dance off or anything like that at some point. So again, not only do you learn about what they're like on the football field when you watch them on Saturdays, but you know what they're posting about on Instagram, it tells a whole story.
Alyssa, you've done so many different things in the industry, you know, as well as the Monday Night Show, and you've been on the sidelines. And there comes a point when a lot of this does start to sound and run together when you're talking X's and O's and games coming up. But I am curious, are players and coaches, for that matter, a little more willing to let their hair down when you're going in all these offbeat directions?
I think so. I've always found that to be, I guess, an easier way to get to know these guys. Because I think if you talk to anybody who's in this business, you're in it because you're a storyteller. Or you want to show off somebody's life story, or you want to really do right by them and tell the public what they're like. And whenever I go to these shoot-arounds or practice or Friday meetings, no matter what season or sport it is, I always try to go in knowing something about them personally, because I feel like in any situation that opens anybody up. It shows that, you know, you care about who they are outside of what it is they do. I know for me, anytime I can talk to somebody about the things that I'm passionate about, it feels like we're friends and it puts me at ease. So that's something that as a broadcaster, I really try to focus on doing, not only because it helps build that relationship, but because it's interesting. I want to get to know these guys and these coaches better off the field. And it certainly makes for better storytelling and really helps the fans, I think, connect to who they actually are. And that's one of the things that I think we've taken a lot of pride in with Out of Pocket, is giving them sort of an atmosphere to let's talk ball, but let's also hear your jokes and what you love to talk about. And if you want to call out anybody on your team in a dance battle or something like that, like, this is the place to do it. And it ends up being a lot of fun, which at the end of the day, we're talking about sports, Paul. If it's not fun, what are we doing?
It's a great point. I am curious, as I'm always studying how other people interview people, but when you're talking to either coaches or players, you know, sometimes they all can get stuck on the same theme. How do you undo that? Because, you know, you're trying to get really quality stuff here, especially for a compressed period of time. Is there a bailout that that you use when you're subject is seemingly saying the same thing over and over again?
Yeah, I think, and you know this very well, I know as an interviewer too, you always go in with, you know, your list of topics or your list of questions that you want to make sure you hit on. And typically you can tell right away, right, when somebody's interested and somebody's not. And that's another reason, and I tell this to young broadcasters all the time, it's another reason to find every nook and crevice you can on whoever it is that you're talking to. So when they do get into that rhythm, or maybe they're not so interested in what you're talking about anymore, you always have something fresh to sort of bring to the table. I think listening is also so important too. Going back to what I talked about with our two Missouri guys that are joining the show tomorrow, Nick Bolton and Larry Rountree, Larry was talking to me about what it's like to go against Nick Bolton in practice and just how that's cultivated their relationship as friends and also as football players, because they feel like they are some of the best at their position, and being able to go against each other every single day in practice is so great to them. And as he was telling the story, he made a comment, you know, well, there was one day that Nick got me real good in practice and I had to let him know, and, you know, but I realized later that next week, you know, going against him is a great service to me because it makes me so much better. And I was kind of like, well, hold on. Go back to what you said about when he got you in practice. What was that about? So he goes on to tell a story about how things maybe got a little bit chippy between the two of them at practice. And there was a little bit of pushing and shoving after the play. But of course, they're all great friends and they knew it was all in the spirit of competitiveness. So I think, you know, going into it, knowing all those things that you can possibly know from the Instagram page or whatever it is, but just listening too, because sometimes you never know when a great story is going to come from a story out of practice or something like that. So that's definitely one that I'm very excited to share with fans tomorrow morning specifically.
Finally, I know every coach is different, but is there a coach that is amenable to letting his hair down more than others?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. We've had such great interviews, I think, with all of our coaches across the SEC. I will say over the summer, I did an interview with Derek Mason, and I learned, I think, more about Derek Mason than I ever have known, especially from a broadcast standpoint. He moonlights as a DJ. He's got a whole DJ set up in his basement. And he also told me that at halftime, I think he said he likes to eat gummy bears or he eats candy at halftime of all of his games. So, like, that's something that, you know, I feel like is great information as a fan to know what Derek Mason's doing at halftime. So I've sort of taken that and then ask some other coaches, like, do you have a halftime routine? Do you eat snacks at halftime? Because that never really occurred to me that, you know, 2 hours into a game or whatever it is, like, are you down in a protein bar or something? So, you know, little quirky things like that I think is always fun. And Coach Mace sort of opened the door up for that for me.
That's very interesting. I'm surprised they can eat at all. They're so wired. Alyssa, tomorrow we'll be watching again. Thank you for making time this afternoon. Look forward to talking to you again very, very soon. Always great.
Thanks, Paul.
You got it. Alyssa Lang joining us, the program tomorrow morning at 9:30. We will take a break and finally get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome to the program. Good afternoon.
Joe, they're very interesting guests. I especially was interested in Alyssa's little story about the young man who played hooky from school, got hungry, shot himself a squirrel, and cooked it on the grill, apparently. But squirrel, when it's cooked by somebody who knows what they're doing, is quite tasty. Squirrel with gravy. It's been many years since I've had it, but we did eat squirrel as a kid. I went hunting with my dad and enjoyed many a fried squirrel. I wanted to talk about the Auburn situation. First of all, are you surprised that Auburn is favored over Ole Miss?
No, only because I think Ole Miss's defense, Ken, is so bad that Vegas does not trust them.
Huh. Okay. Because I guess they know more than I do, and that's why they make the money. I would have thought that Ole Miss would be, you know, prohibitively favored.
Yeah, and by the way, if you look at the power index, I think it also favors Auburn fairly significantly.
Wow. Okay. Well, you learn something new every day.
You're listening to too many talk shows in Alabama, Ken.
Well, it's funny you should bring that up, because I was channel surfing the other day, as I am wont to do, and I, according to a commentator who seemed to know, thought he knew what he was talking about, he may have been guilty of some pejorative behavior, I don't know, but he indicated that there was a quarterback at Kentucky who should have been at Auburn, and he indicated that the quarterback who's playing for Liberty and has them undefeated should have been in Auburn. Now, I don't know if those guys...
Well, yeah, well, they're both former Auburn quarterbacks.
Yeah, that was the impression that he gave me. And in fact, there was another guy he mentioned, and I just wondered if there was a, you know, what caused these three other guys to choose another school.
Well, I think I can help you answer that. At least in Gatewood's case, you know, Malik, I'm trying to remember when he left, but yeah, I mean, it was the coronation of Bo Nix last year, and. Yeah, once Bo Nix got the starting job and then wins his first game, he looked like he would be a lead pipe cinch 4-year starter.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. My other thing is, do you suppose that Chad Morris has accidentally created an offense Cole Kubelik mentioned that he had put some new wrinkles in? And do you suppose those wrinkles are inadvertently playing not in within the scope of Bo's talents?
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing he said there. Yeah, if it's too complicated, why do it? I understand what Malzahn's trying to do. I think he needed to open things up a little bit than the traditional Malzahn offense. But you know, this was not a traditional year where you didn't have spring. And you would have thought of all quarterbacks in the SEC that Bo Nix would have been able to deal with that efficiently, but he clearly is not.
No, I've been disappointed this year. I mean, I'm an Alabama fan, but I'm not one of these Auburn haters.
Right.
You know, I'm very proud of both schools, and I've just been disappointed to see Bo's performance this year and been quite puzzled.
Well, I think tomorrow is really a seminal game for him, and I think if Auburn can get out of there and win, then maybe they can start try to figure this thing out. But I think a loss would be absolutely cataclysmic to this program. You hear it. You live in Alabama. If you think the heat is bad right now, just consider adding another loss. And you know, when we talk about Auburn, they haven't played A&M, LSU, Alabama, Tennessee. Just throwing, and I'm sure I'm leaving someone out, but I mean, they've got a brutal schedule ahead.
My reasoning that gives Ole Miss makes Ole Miss a favorite tomorrow is because they literally gave Alabama a run for their money.
They did.
And Lane Kiffin's offense seemed to be extremely
explosive. But it seemed like last week, now I think some of that was knowing Saban, but last week it all disintegrated with so many mistakes. The same quarterback who Kubelik mentioned in terms of his ability and perhaps NFL talent, you know, was dreadful last week, and so was everyone else. So I think sometimes, you know, I don't know how severe the COVID issues are at Ole Miss. You hear hints of the defense being in big trouble, but the offense was really part of the issue last week, and it was I think if Auburn shows up, can work through the debacle that was South Carolina, I think they're in good shape. But if you start seeing the frustration, and I think Cole said it, if Ole Miss gets in rhythm and starts moving the ball and scoring at random like they did 2 weeks ago, then I wouldn't want to trust Bo Nix to bring them back.
I have a feeling they will. I just don't think Ole Miss will be horrible 2 weeks in a row. But I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I don't know. I can't wait to watch the game. It's very interesting. Always good to talk to you, Ken. Thank you for calling. We will take a break. We have an hour to go, and we hope that you will stick with us. A lot to do in the final hour, including a conversation with Chris Doering and also your phone calls.